Hi, I'm Al Lowe, and I'm listening to Adventure Game Hotspot.
I asked you the wrong question. All right, we're gonna cut. What was the topic again? What were we
2024.
Oh, we're doing 2024. Oh,
was that
okay.
Not what you prepared for?
Well, thankfully, this is not live, huh?
Yeah, no, that would be great. We'd that'd be a winner. So we're gonna be previewing 2024. I think so. I'm just gonna start right from the beginning. We're white. It's a wipe, boys. It's a wipe.
Okay.
All right. Hold on 1 second. Welcome back, or welcome front if it's the first time joining us. I am Joshua. As always, Jack Allen.
That's me.
And we have staff writer Bo. How the heck are you, boys?
Good afternoon.
How you doing, Bo?
Good afternoon, indeed. Good evening, good afternoon. Depends on where you're from. This is the Adventure Game Hotspot podcast. How are you?
Great, now that I'm here.
Yes. Jack, how about you?
You know what? I got to admit, I've had a rough few days. First, my TV died on me. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday, I had a root canal. And I got to say, I really did not enjoy it. So, I figure I'm about one catastrophe short of a country song this week. But you know what? I'm feeling better. Okay. Things are looking up.
Maybe not your pocketbook.
Oh, no, it is really hurting. My mouth is feeling so much better. But yeah, my wallet is like throbbing from the ache at the moment. But
do they not give free health care in Canada?
They like, don't, actually. Dental? No. Oh. Yeah, no, they don't. Yeah, the medical care, yes. Teeth, you're on your own. Eyes, you're on your own.
Oh, so they really do actually give medical care then, or it's built into your pay.
I walk into a hospital and get whatever treatment I need for free. But teeth, it's like, pay up, pal.
Here in the United States, whenever I walk into a hospital, all I get is COVID from all the other people in there.
Yeah, and man, I cannot even imagine the American system. It's just like, it's so comforting to know, and I'm not saying our medical care is perfect, but it's so comforting to know that nothing could ever happen to me that'll completely put me on the street. You know what I mean? So,
oh man,
maybe my teeth.
yes, he's taking you to the poorhouse. I went into, and nobody cares about this, but I'll just be quick. I went into a doctor today. They called me back. They said, you know what? The test that we took, this seems very, very abnormal. Please come in quickly, and we need to get more tests done, like ASAP. I'm like, my wife was like up all night, worried and everything. So
yeah, abnormal is not a word you want to hear from your doctor.
Exactly, and I had to go out of state to check on some vendors today. So we went early, the second they opened, we got in, and I had to fast and to make sure everything was right. And they said, oh yeah, well, we can't actually do that same test twice within the same month. Like, oh no, you don't understand. They said it's something very that we should really worry about. Like, I get that, but you're gonna have to come back a month from now.
Oh, come on. Oh yep. Yeah, all right.
The doctor made an appointment.
So try not to worry about it between now and then.
Yeah, my wife may not sleep for a month.
But no, I wouldn't imagine she would. Oh man, that's ridiculous. Oh boy. Oh, well, man. Let's hope that abnormal just means unusual, not
Abby normal. Yeah, it's my
Abby
brain.
Normal. Like, exactly.
We're probably putting people to sleep right now talking about our things. But let's talk adventure games, and more specifically, let's talk about adventure games in 2024. We're going to preview 2024. Last podcast, we reviewed 2023, and it was okay. We're hoping for better in 2024, though. What do you guys think? Bo, you're the guest. You throw us out there first.
Yeah, I'm always going to defer to you, pal.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think 2023 was not as bright as the year before, but mm-hmm. if every game comes out this year that was supposed to come out, I think it'll be pretty fantastic.
You know, I think we put a lot of stock into sort of the sex appeal of the top games. Like,
true.
There's sort of no big seller, big name that everyone's excited about. We think, oh, it's kind of a down year. But to me, 2023 was still pretty good. It was just kind of more more solid, more good to great kind of thing instead of those few big ones. So it remains to be seen about 2024. To me, it's still kind of blockbuster light. There's not that sort of one. There's no, oh yeah, the new Monkey Island from Ron Gilbert or a new Gabriel Knight from Jane Jensen or something like that. You know what I mean? So we'll see. But there's a lot of really good looking games.
Well, and we look back at 2022, that's as good as it gets from, you know, within the last 10 years, in my opinion. But we weren't going into 2022 knowing that there's going to be all of these great games.
That's true.
You know, we didn't know about Return to Monkey Island. Yeah. And then you had like Norco and Golden Isle. They popped out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So here's hoping to 2024, but I tell you what will be good in 2024. And this is the advertisement part right here, brought to you by me. Oh no, the Adventure Game Fanfare.
That's
is
right.
Coming.
That's going to be amazing.
And it definitely, definitely will. We're going to be getting together July 27th and 28th, and we hope to see you all there. We know we're going to be seeing a lot of the developers, and it's going to be a heck of a time.
It sure will.
Every single day, it gets cooler and cooler.
Whole lot of Sierra alumni having their, I don't know if it's their first ever reunion, but certainly the first in a long time. So
in a very long time. It's been more than two decades since they've had an official reunion. So
cool.
Hopefully we can live up to the expectations of that. So speaking of expectations, I know you said that there wasn't the sex appeal type of games in 2023. Are there I hate to use sex appeal in adventure games. Is there any maybe blockbusters that you see coming in 2024?
Well, it depends on what you consider to be. No, I'm going to say no. The easy answer is no. Or if there is the kind of borderline, and I'm not sure will it even make 2024. I don't want to give away some games that you guys might want to talk about, but I think like a new Wajid Eye might be a sort of borderline blockbuster to me.
For adventure,
A new game from the developer of Dreamfall Chapters kind of thing. So there is stuff, but there's not that sort of one, you know, thing that everyone just goes nuts over.
Well, give me one that stands out to you, and then we'll jump on over to Bo.
Blockbuster-ish, because I kind of lean
one game that's going to stand out to you that you're
okay. All right. This one may be a little bit of both, or may not even be an adventure game. I'm amazed that more people aren't psyched about Blade Runner 2033 Labyrinth. Now I know like very little has been shared about the game. This is a brief little teaser. A little voiceover and a few atmospheric shots, and that's all we've gotten. Mm-hmm. And it may not come out in 2024 either, but I'm not so sure it won't. But it's got amazing pedigree. It's by Annapurna, who has like a real reputation for quality. And I just think the Blade Runner, I wasn't even like a huge fan of the original game. I liked it, but I wasn't crazy about it. But I think like a modern Blade Runner would be the perfect adventure game with a little splash of action. That's appropriate to the Blade Runner universe, but I don't think it needs a lot. I don't think the movies really had a lot. It was mostly characters and puzzles and mystery and stuff like all that sort of perfect and like rich cyberpunk atmosphere to make an amazing adventure. So I'm really excited about the game. I don't know if it'll come out this year, but I'm looking forward to it.
You're right.
You know, is it the same people that were involved in the remake of
no.
the 1997 game? Okay, because I heard that had a lot of issues.
Yeah, and I ended up not touching it because of that. But
yeah,
but that was
those still haven't been fixed yet.
Yeah,
those issues.
And my impression was that was mostly just a coat of paint kind of update anyway, and then they picked the wrong color or whatever that made it, you know, not work.
It wasn't
as well.
Neon but, enough for this.
Yeah, it didn't seem like enough of an update to me to dive back into it. But the new one, I'm really stoked about. And I'm not hearing a lot of buzz from adventure game fans. Maybe I'm just listening in the wrong places. But
No, you're right. Like, I check the trends every single night. I check Google, see what people are looking at that's associated with adventure games, and I'm shocked. It's just not all that buzzing. Is
Yeah.
that how you say that? Is it? It's just not all that buzzing. Let's get some buzz.
Well, hey, we can make
I'm
up our own
excited.
words.
Oh, yeah, it's our show.
I mean, it's an old franchise too. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe people just need to see more. Maybe they need to be assured that it is kind of adventure-y. And I think it will be. I do think there'll be action, but I think it'll be mostly maybe a little stealth or but there's got to be code cracking and computer stuff and, you know, all the stuff that Harrison Ford did.
Well, that's true. We truly don't know a darn thing
We
about
don't.
the game. There's
Yeah, it
not
could
even
be a
any. Yeah.
tower defense game for all I know, but I'm hoping it isn't.
Oh
A
boy. What about you, Bo?
Farmville clone,
Oh no, don't do
Blade
that.
Runner.
Don't do that. Don't dumb it down that
Well,
far.
I don't think of it well, but
Well,
it's,
maybe
my point
robots
is
will
we
be
don't
planting
know.
farms for us in 2047 or
Yeah.
how about you, Bo? What are you looking forward to in 2024?
Crimson Diamond. I have
Yeah.
been following this game for, gosh, I don't know how long now, and it seems like it's for sure coming out this year. If there's been a new EGA game in the last 20 years, I'm not familiar with it. I remember playing a horror game in like 2005 called Enclosure that was done with the Sears old their original engine. But I'm just so excited for this game. And I think it's more than just nostalgia. And I think it's Ju Julia, right? She's the designer.
Yep, Julia Minamata.
Yeah, she's been, putting out updates every few months for years and sharing screenshots and the art, and everything just looks amazing. It's got going to be some mystery in there, like the Laura Bow series, and I'm really excited to see what she does with that. I can't wait. I'm going to play that the moment it comes out.
She's a very likable person. It's something
Oh,
that
she sure is.
we want to root for. Good
It's a
old
Canadian thing,
Canadian
man.
girl. Yeah, it's a, like who? How could you not like a Canadian person?
Exactly.
And
That's what
she's
I
an
keep trying to
artist,
convince people of that.
and she's an artist, and you can see like she is truly the art is just oozing out into the game. Her passion is and it's oozing out into that game, and I'm super excited to see where it goes. You know, I'd like to kind of see a rebirth of parser games. And we kind of get a little bit of that with Phantom Fellows too, a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes out. I hope it comes out in 2024. Let's all talk it into existence.
This is the Phantom Fellows?
Oh no.
Oh
Crimson
yeah. Okay,
Diamond.
all right. Yeah, but no, the and we're doing an article soon about the top 2024 games coming out, and that got a lot of responses from staff, so it seems to
And I
have a
think
very broad
Julia
appeal.
just said they're going into beta testing like
Oh,
shortly. So,
that's promising.
yeah.
How cool is that? Okay, so yeah, we're getting closer and closer. With me, gosh, let me just drop the gauntlet on myself and, say this is the glove. I'm not actually hitting myself because that would feel below average.
You challenging
I'm going to
yourself
say
to a
Broken
duel?
Sword. Yes, I am. I'm challenged myself to come up with something else besides Broken Sword. But how could you not? I mean, I'm sure Bo will tell us how we couldn't.
That's yes. We still have to have a cage match between you two about
But we have
Broken Sword.
Broken Sword 6 coming out. It's got a little bit of everything you want. You know, you got Arthurian lore, you got history, you got George and Nico. I'll say this. The backgrounds look great. I'm not really feeling the character, the looks of the characters. It's too
But
crisp.
we've been told that there still works in progress, the characters.
Are they going to dumb it down? Because it looks
I
too
don't
crisp
know.
right now. But
Yeah,
then again,
well,
I
that could
thought
be.
the same thing about number 5, and I really, really enjoyed number 5. So that's kind of where I'm at. What do you think about that, Bo?
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. Let's have you guys hash it out.
You know, maybe George has grown as a person since the last game.
It's got a George, he's due.
George
right?
is a
he's
bit overdue. Of a butthead. Oh man, what were you gonna say, Jack?
No, now I forget. But like I'm the one thing I'm on the fence about is whether we see it this coming year. It was fairly recently that we heard about it, and they've got two games on the go because they're also doing the remaster or remake or whatever they're calling it, the reboot of the very first game, the one that Bo is such a fan of. So they got two projects on the go. Will we see either? Or I think if we see either of them, I think we might see the remake first, just to give them a little more time. But I mean, it looks gorgeous to me, and I'm not a uber Broken Sword fan, mm-hmm. but I am a fan, so I'm really looking for it. And it looks gorgeous. So, and a neat mix of 2D and 3D.
Yes, yeah, I do believe as well that we'll see the remaster first, and the director's cut. Can we just toss that away forever now? You know, director's cut, we don't ever have to think about it again because we got the original, and now we're gonna have the remaster of the real original.
Geez, it's getting into Myst territory for a number of iterations.
That's impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, they keep adding on to it, right? So,
oh man.
Yeah, okay. So I got another one. And I'm not a fan of remasters and remakes, which is I probably had a scowl on my face when I talked about it about Broken Sword just now, but this one is an exception. It actually came up in our recent podcast about sort of forgotten games and, you know, games that we, you know, were really amazing, but nobody talks about them anymore. And one of mine was Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Oh, yeah.
And lo and behold, like the very next week, talk about speaking things into existence. Mm-hmm. So developers, if you want to make your game happen, just let me know. And I, you know, anyway. Yeah, so a remake of Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons was announced. It's coming soon, too. I think in February, but
25th, I believe. February 25th.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's soon. Now, nothing about the game sort of made me think it needed a remake. It looked beautiful at the time, but I guess I was probably seeing it through 2013 eyes. So, mm-hmm. you know, let's see what another decade of graphical updates, and they're doing a whole new orchestral score and stuff like that. But anyway, it's an amazing game if you haven't played it, if you haven't played the original. You know, be sure to check out the new one. I'm sure it'll be excellent. I don't know what more they'll do with the game, but I'm going to play it
longer. That's a big thing. It's going to be longer than the original. And because that was a big complaint about when I looked it up, it was a big complaint about the original that it was a little too short. So they're adding stuff to this game, which is, I think that's kind of cool. Maybe you'll play it now because you don't like remakes and playing games again.
I don't. Yeah. I usually hate replaying games, but this is going to be an exception, but that kind of worries me a little bit.
Oh, really?
As soon as you start tinkering with what worked, like, are they just putting in filler or are they, I don't know. So we'll see.
Maybe they're expanding on some aspects or something.
Well, they could be, but I've seen a lot of director's cuts movies and kind of went, you know what? I liked the original better. Or you watch like the deleted scenes and stuff on a, you know, and the extras on a movie, and you just become, oh, I totally understand why they cut that scene, because that would not have improved things. So, hey, if they're adding good stuff to Brothers, then that's great. But it's hard to beat what it was already, because it was an amazing game.
So it talked to me like I've not played it, because I've not played it.
Well, that should be easy. Yeah, okay. Let me dig deep into my imagination. Right.
Is this a game where you have to control both characters?
You like control you have to both move characters.
Both characters, correct?
Yeah, you move both characters, and I forget. I think you kind of control them at the same time. Like you don't alternate, and it's very unusual in that regard, and it takes some getting used to for sure. But it is really interesting, and it's kind of another layer of challenge, and now, I don't remember if the original game you could play co-op. The remake, you can. You can play local co-op if you just want to do one person does one brother, one person does the other. But you know, it's really unique to try it yourself. Mm-hmm. So But it, like, it's, and so it's a little bit actiony. I gotta put that out there. It's not traditional point and click kind of thing, but it's not heavy action. It's sort of user friendly platforming and stuff like that.
You know, that's a trend that it has been coming a lot since, gosh, it seems like 2022. Co-op adventure games.
Yeah.
It seems like I just started. I'm like, I want to play an adventure game like with a friend. This would be great. It seemed like just a couple of years I was looking and there was hardly anything.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're getting like 15 to 20 legitimate titles a year.
Yeah.
And not just like, okay, let's experiment with this. We're getting like legitimate titles a year. I'm eager to see where that goes from here, but
yeah,
definitely seems too. Like it's a launching pad for that. Have you ever played that, Bo?
I own it.
Okay. That's a start.
Have you played it?
Well, now you're never going to play it because you got to play the new one.
No, the thing is, I'll never play the new one until I play the old one.
Okay. So, all right. You're a completist like that, are you? Okay.
I won't play the new Broken Sword because I'll have to play four other games first.
Yeah, I'm a lot like that. I find it hard to jump into a series sort of midway or if I've skipped some. So
I'm like that with television shows. Like if there's like 13 seasons, my parents have been trying to get me to watch Blue Blood. I'm like, I can't. I will never catch up to you because there's like 12 seasons of Blue Blood. So just forget it. Like, I'm not going to play that game. Oh, man. What about you, Bo? What's your next game that you're looking forward to in 2024?
Well, word's still out if it'll come out this year, but there's some mild optimism. Jack alluded to it earlier. It's Dustborne by Red Thread Games. I am a Ragnar Tornquist fanboy, so... I don't even care what the game's about. I'll play it anyway. But now it's being published by Quantic Dream. So there should be a lot of money behind that. And hopefully they'll get to do what they want to do to finish it. But I love the idea behind it, too. Like, you're traveling undercover as a punk rock band. And, you know, you're supposed to, at one point, you're supposed to take down helicopters by like swinging a baseball bat. I don't know, getting a little action, and hopefully it's not too complex, but I'm guessing it'll be right up my alley.
And what is look. The go ahead.
I was gonna say, it's got a gorgeous look to it.
Oh yeah,
that seems to be getting popular too, like that style, almost like the comic book style look seems to be happening more and more in all genres.
Yeah, it's got an interesting mechanic, though, right? Related to language and words. And Bo, do you know much about that? Or,
not specifics other than, you know, this, it describes the main characters have the ability to weaponize language.
Right.
And I imagine in a literal way, which is really exciting to me.
Yeah, it is in a literal way, at least according to the demo that I tried.
Wow. I've always loved language-based games, you know. Which generally in the past have been, you know, limited to, you know, text adventures, but or games with parsers. But so I'm really excited for this.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels very much like a cinematic, you know, text puzzle kind of thing. Every time you're trying to interact and influence what's happening. I don't know precisely how it works, but it looks really interesting. So I'm really intrigued with this one.
Well, that's it, Bo. I guess you're going to be covering Dustborne for us in our 2024 preview that we're having come out for the website soon. Oh, boy. Okay, so what do I have? Oh, can I take the easy answer here? And
we know you're going to, so just go ahead.
It wouldn't be an episode if I didn't take the low-hanging fruit. I am just oozing excitement out of all of my orifices.
Ooh, okay. This is far more. Okay. Let's go to audio only for
you. You said this would be easy, Josh.
it's the Indiana Jones game,
and
obviously
yeah.
that's got action in it too. So far, half the games that we're covering here has action in it. But the announcement came out, or the more specific announcements came out. They gave us some trailers. They gave us some gameplay last night. I don't know whenever you guys are watching this, but Now you know when we're recording.
That's right.
But it looks so good. I would really prefer third person.
Yeah.
Would have preferred third person just going into it thinking like that. But the more I think about it, the more I watch the trailers, I see what they're going for. They're trying to give us a full experience. They want to get all of our senses. They want us to see through the eyes of Indiana Jones. And we've never had that before. We've never had an Indiana Jones story through the eyes of Indiana Jones. Even like the James Rollins books, it wasn't from a first person perspective. It was he wrote it as, this is what I see. So I am excited to see this. It's got puzzles, it's got action elements, and it's got the environment and everything. I'm just super, super excited. The one thing I'm really excited about is trying to get through it without using a weapon, without using a gun. I want to get through only using the whip, and it's going to happen.
Yeah, and that should be possible. Maybe not entirely, but like the developers are kind of on record as saying, like, you can take the easy way out and just, you know, shoot first, ask questions later. But they think it'll be more fun and sort of a more authentic Indiana Jones experience if you look for other alternate paths, which they've built in. Like, they want you to approach the game however you want to do it. So if you want to come out shooting, do that. But
you can. According to someone who is working on the game, I didn't ask him if I can tell them the news or anything. I think it's assumed that I can spread a little bit of this stuff, but I won't say the name of who gave me this information. You can only use the whip to get through the game. You don't have to do a lot of the other stuff in there. And so,
I'm like you though. Like, I sort of instinctively, I go first person. No. But there didn't seem to be a lot of platformy stuff. So not a lot of running and jumping. And I think that's what benefits most from third person. I think if you're just using your whip and, you know, sneaking around, and it'll be fine to be first person. Plus, the developers and Bethesda themselves are sort of first person is their thing. So they're doing what they know. So that's probably a better angle. But, and apparently, like, the camera will zoom back during cinematic moments and you'll actually get to see actual Indy doing things. So it's not completely like, who am I again? Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. So that's important too. Just remind us enough.
Oh, I was lukewarm about it until you guys mentioned that, because I really do not like first person shooters. But if I can get through that with only not having to switch between seven different weapons and just use the whip, that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
It's a first person whipper. All right, Jack. Let's go around one more time and see. We'll talk about the games, and then we'll maybe talk about some other things and adventures that we're hoping to see in 2024.
Okay. Well, I think this one was on my list last year, so we didn't see it. But, you know, it sort of renews hope that we'll see it this year, which is Phonopolis by Amanita Design. Now, I'm getting a little worried because it's been like 3 years.
Isn't that the way they operate, though? They're kind of covert, right?
Yeah, but they usually kind of get close to one a year. So now they did release two games in 2021. So it was probably like almost a company reset. Like, okay, we're starting everything. And maybe it's also very like them to be working on more than one thing. And we don't even know about something. So they're probably just busy working in the background in silence. And that's their thing. But I'm hoping this is the year for Phonopolis, because it looks really interesting. And it, you know, in some ways, classic Amanita, sort of surreal environments and atmosphere and stuff. But in other ways, they're like really stepping out too. There's some stop motion. It's a new graphic design. There's talking for the first time ever in their game. So it's not going to, I don't know, maybe that's why they're taking a little extra time too. It's like they're stepping out of their comfort zone, and it's not as easy as just cranking out another Samaras game, let's say. So but I'm patient, I'll wait, but I want to see.
Yeah, that's a bigger production. You actually have to cast people now.
Yep,
that's work, not just a few squeaks here and there, you know.
Yep,
it's you, Bo.
What do you got, bro?
Well, I hadn't heard of this game until last week. but I'm really excited for Little Guardsman, which comes out on January 23rd. I decided not to review it for the site because it feels like a little overwhelming for me, but you know, just the tagline that you decide the fate of over 100 unique characters just sounds like a lot of fun. You play a 12-year-old who's covering his dad's shift at a guard shed, and you just have to make a bunch of decisions, you know, and then you just see like the chaos of the results of the choices you made covering for your dad, and then get to do it over and over again. So and they say if you like Papers, Please, you know, that you'll like this too. I haven't played that game either, but definitely up my alley.
And it's gorgeous too. That, beautiful hand-drawn art style.
I just want to say I respect the fact that you declined to review the game because you felt it's something that it wouldn't sit well with you. And so you declined that. And I like that.
And part of it too is I feel like I'd want to spend 40 hours with the game. And I don't have that kind of time right now.
Gotcha. Oh boy. Okay. I am sitting here like, so it's like Sophie's Choice. Like, who do I sacrifice here? Oh man. Who do I leave off my list of my three? I'm going to go with the Drifter. I love the concept. I love the look. I love the color palette that they have used. And I've always said that, Groundhog's Day would make a wonderful adventure game. Just keep redoing it until you get it right. And that's what's happening in the Drifter. You've been killed, essentially. You have been murdered, and you keep coming back, and you get closer and closer to solving your own murder. And I just think that's amazing. I think that's an absolutely amazing idea. And that may be my second thing that I'm most excited about, more so than Broken Sword 6. I'm getting a little tired with Broken Sword at this day. I'll play it and I'm gonna be super excited, but it's the same thing, new brand type of thing. But yeah, this one looks good. It looks really good, actually.
And you're feeling
power hooks.
You're feeling confident about 2024? Because it's been a while since we, you know, got sort of a big update on that one.
So we did a podcast with the team from Powerhoof, and they were acting like it's going to be a push to get it done in 2023, but you know, 2024, that looks pretty good. We were going to, you know,
all right.
So
okay.
I'm going to think that if they're close enough to think that there was, you know, maybe they could get it done in 2023. I guess so.
I would think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got 12 months to work with. So,
but it
well,
is,
let's
just
hope.
A
yeah. It looks
team.
Really interesting.
It is a two-man team, and he said it's a pretty lengthy game. So we'll see, to be determined. So from what we know of 2024, news-wise, is there anything that stands out to you guys that you would like to see developed further or see a little bit more of, maybe a development team or something that's coming out? What do you think of that's going to happen in 2024? Something exciting that, or interesting that you guys would like to see happen. If you guys want to think, because I sprung this, I didn't actually tell you that this was going to be a question, a question before. But one thing that I would like to discuss is Sierra. I mean, it seems like maybe too easy of a conversation to discuss, but again, you know, we've got Activision, who has now been taken over by Microsoft. They acknowledged the games, that there is old Sierra catalog games that they are going to be addressing, but they're not going to talk about it until the second quarter of 2024. So at least they acknowledge that there's those old Sierra catalog games, but I really, really, really want to see something. I don't care if it doesn't even have to be a classic adventure game of those old adventure game IPs, but I want to see something. Give me action if I have to have it. Give me a television show if they're willing to give it, but I definitely want to see something come up. Do you now, think we'll see any? Or boy, worked well, on? Maybe announced?
Yeah. Well, first of all, would you be as excited if the sort of original project leaders weren't involved? Like if, you know, we've had Leisure Suit Larry without Elmo, but you know, that kind of thing. Like, you know, is it as still excited? Gabriel Knight if Jane Jensen isn't involved? To me, no.
Well, no, but I don't, right. I don't see, that's not true. Like they, people mean nothing to these big corporations.
Well, that's the problem. We don't know. So they're quite beyond.
I wouldn't be as excited, but I will eat it up. Allegiance be damned. Like I'll eat them up anyways, just for nostalgia's sake.
You know, even if they do, go ahead.
And for me, it just kind of depends on who's developing it. I mean, certainly there's been some, you know, great fan-made King's Quest games. So just because the original author is not in on it doesn't mean the IP can't flourish. But, you know, I mean, I'll probably play whatever it is regardless. But, but yeah.
So let me pose this question to you guys because it's relevant. So Laura Bow has a new game coming up, probably. You know, as we know,
I would
right
say
now,
probably that, not. But
right, they don't have the license to do it, but they are. This independent developer is making a game. How do you feel about that? Are you excited about that?
Well, I mean, I have never played Laura Bow, so I'm kind of, yes, I know.
Oh my gosh, Jack.
Do you need a minute or like, are you going to be okay? I was not playing adventure games. You know this about me. When, you know, those games were popular, I was playing on my Nintendo.
And he wouldn't have remembered any part of the game anyway, so.
I wouldn't have remembered anything if I'd played it yesterday. So, but,
okay.
Like, so I have no sort of ingrained feelings about that franchise or whatever. But for the most part, I don't know. Like, I know the developers, the game's called Laura Bow and the Mechanical Codex, I believe it's called. Yeah. Like they've been in active talks with Activision about the property, and Activision did not shut them down. So they're kind of hopeful, but I've never heard them talk about having any contact with the original developers. And I think that is something I would at least want. I would want, like, I know the Odd Gentleman had, Ken and Roberta sort of give their blessing on the King's Quest reboot. And I would want that. Like, I wasn't happy that the new Leisure Suit Larry, like, it's okay if you're doing it without Al Lowe, but at least bring him in. And
he wasn't happy.
No, of course not, because that's his baby, and nobody even consulted him. Like, so I would want that. That's all I ask for. I'm totally fine with an indie developer working on something, but I would want to know that it's with sort of the blessing of the creator.
And who is it? Christy Marks? That's one that doesn't pop out at me. Who actually developed that game?
I don't know either.
Lorelai Shannon, maybe? No.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's weird. Like, that's kind of embarrassing. I don't know. Oh, I think it's Christy Marks, right?
You're talking about the originals?
Yeah.
Well, Roberta designed Colonel's Bequest.
Okay.
Right.
And Digger Von Monroe, she passed that off to, who was it?
So it's somebody else, but not one of the names that we mentioned. It doesn't jump out.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the upcoming, possibly upcoming Laura Bone game or Laurel Bowen game?
Yeah, what do you got, Bo?
I mean, I'm intrigued. I'm actually halfway through Dagger of Amon-Ra right now. And I played Colonel's Bequest 20 years ago, and I think they're fun games, but as far as actual murder mysteries, they're really lacking in cohesiveness. So I'd be curious to see, you know, someone else takes that and runs with it.
Okay, yeah. So let me change the question. Oh. Okay, go ahead, Jack.
I was just going to say, cynically, I kind of wonder how much the developers even ultimately care, because the license has done its job already. We all know about the game. So even if they have to pull a light switch and call it, you know, Laura, you know, Arrow or something like that, then like we all know what it really is. So, but I'd like to, and certainly like in their newsletters and stuff like that, the enthusiasm for the property does come through. So I think it comes from a genuine place. I have my doubts that, you know, a Laura Beau game will come out of it.
So say Jane Jensen decides to make a Gabby Day game. How excited are you to play a Gabby Day game? Because I'll answer my own question. Yeah. Not excited. That would be weird. That would be really, really weird.
It would be. And I don't think, you know, let's give Bo a turn. Yeah.
I mean, she could. I mean, she could imply in the subtext of the game, you know, that it's, you know, a distant German cousin of Gabriel, and I think people would be
can
okay with
though?
It.
Can so. They though?
Yeah, because aren't you just comparing it to the original? That I would rather she just do something entirely original. If she can't have her old IPs back, then just do something. You know, she's authored dozens of books and made several games and stuff. You know, she's got lots of ideas. So, you know, she doesn't have to. It's us that wants Gabriel. Now, I know she wants to do another one, too. And we're going to have her on the show soon. And hopefully she'll have lots to say about that. But if I don't want to see her doing a knockoff of her own creation, that would not sit right with me.
Yeah. It'd be weird. It'd be intriguing, but it would be truly weird. I'd like to see what she had penned for Gabriel Knight 4 about the ghosts. I kind of want to get a little something, because the way that they left off Gabriel Knight 3, there's a hole in my heart and my brain. I need to know what happens there. And it was definitely intended to happen. So I kind of want that closure, but it'd be a little weird.
Yeah.
A little weird. How about you guys? Did you come up with any thoughts about 2024?
Bo? I mean, I got a few I could toss out. Okay. I'm deferring. I'm not.
No, I appreciate that. And I do not have my fingers on the pulse. So you go ahead, Jack.
Well, okay. I mean, these are sort of impromptu, off the cuff thoughts, but
that's the best kind.
I hope there's life left in Telltale. We think they're kind of hanging on by their fingernails, sort of thing. You know, sort of closed but not officially closed kind of thing. But so long as they've got their foot in the door, there may still be hope. You know, it's not a big hope. And frankly, I think Telltale has been out-telltaled by other companies now anyway, like Deck Nine, Don't Nod, you know, companies like that. So, you know, if we never hear anything more officially from 10, there's like the company that did Star Trek Resurgence and stuff like this. So like all, and Skunk Ape is making remakes, and hopefully they'll get around to making their own games. But the point is, there's lots of ex Telltale people out there that are still making games anyway. So whether we get anything that comes under the official company name anymore is kind of immaterial, but still, I would hate to see them go out with a whimper like they seem to be going. So, and then my other one too is I really want to see something come from Tex Murphy. I don't like the way that kind of fizzled out. First, we were going to get the remake of the fan remake of what's the game, the third game,
the Poison Pawn.
It was the Poison Pawn, but that was a remake of which game?
Oh, the Pandora. No, not the Pandora.
No, it was the one after that.
It was under, no?
Overseer was the fifth
Overseer,
game.
Thank Overseer. You. Yeah, told okay, you. Yeah. I wouldn't remember if, yeah. So, and then they were going to add to it, and it was going to be sort of a new game, but still kind of a, anyway. And then that fizzled out, and then they were going to do this remaster of the Pandora director, which they probably still will, but we'll see.
They're waiting on computers to render that thing. Right, I don't understand that at all. But that was one thing I was going to bring up too. But true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But talk about a series that could use, and again, I'm not a fan of remakes and remasters, but that that franchise could certainly do with some, because they're pretty, the original games, they were great, but they're pretty clunky at this point. So,
oh yeah, the FMV in that, like, well, let's face it, FMV is built to be corny and clunky.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's changed enough to justify thinking that it's going to be all of a sudden it's going to be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But interesting. Texas written to be corny. Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. I was going
to mention. Yeah, I mean, corny's fine. Keep the corn, but get rid of the clunk. And even the interface is very clunky. So, like, it was a pioneer in its day. It was it was a trendsetter. Kind of a trendsetter. Nobody sort of followed it directly. It sort of did its own thing, and then the rest of the genre sort of went its own way. But like, they were ahead of its time. Those games were ahead of their time. So,
the original Main Streets was ahead of its time. Like,
true. Yeah,
with digitized, video and sounds, and had a flight simulator and an adventure game. Like, it was. Chris Jones is always trying to be at the forefront.
I was going to say something, and I can't remember what that was now, but I'll jump over to one of the things that you mentioned. I would love to see Skunk Ape develop something that, like, their own IP, because the last thing that Jake worked on was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And I want to see
Firewatch?
Firewatch, yes. Sorry. Yeah. I forget that people are not inside my own brain.
And Jake Rodkin is the person.
Jake Rodkin, correct. And I want to see what he could follow that up with.
Yeah. Well, they announced a game. Oh, talk about companies buying other companies. They announced a game, and if I'd known this was going to come up, I would have
prepped a little more.
Something about a valley of something. Anyway, it looked really intriguing. It was like the next game from Campo Santo, the company that did Firewatch, and it looked really neat. It's like, okay, can't wait to see what these guys are gonna do next. And then somebody bought out the company. I think it was Valve, even. But anyway, I don't know, I forget. And then nothing. And then now, you know, Jake's making Sam and Max remakes. So I don't know. It's a crapshoot when one company buys another. You never know what's gonna come out of it. But I think that's gotta be their goal, right? To eventually make their own games. Like, there's only three Sam and Max games, and they're working on the third. So, what's next?
Then you get another IP to start playing around with, huh?
Maybe.
Oh boy,
I would love to see an announcement this year from Half Mermaid that they're he's working on another game. It's been a year and a half now since Immortality was released, and I think it's crickets so far.
They have teased their next project, though. Like, I mean, with no details, but they've teased they're working on something, and there will be news fairly soon. So I think that has a high likelihood of happening this year.
Okay.
Like, not the game, but at least hearing what it is.
Right. And, you know, speaking of, you know, innovation, you know, Sam Barlow's always been, you know, stretching the limits of an adventure game and how use narrative to tell a story. And so, you know, whether it's, full motion picture style or not, I just want to know something's happening.
I got to believe that their next game is going to be FMV. He is so brilliant at it. Like, this guy is like,
but how is he going to change it yet a fourth time, you know, to something different? So,
but it may not, you know, like, I remember Joshua, when you and I were interviewing him, I was sure he was going to say he had a background in film because, like, they're so good and, you know, his games are so based around, but no, it didn't. It was about games, and that was just sort of the format, the medium he used. So yeah, at some point he may go, you know, let's try something different. So I wouldn't put it past him. Everyone likes a challenge.
It's weird how developers or some videographers have a different type of brain. Like, they write things from that perspective that I can't wrap my head around. They're heading above just the normal guys like that. And it just seems like everything that they pen down, like real good artists, videographer artists, it's natural for them from that perspective. What I was going to say earlier is one of the games that kind of it seemed like they kind of copied under a Killing Moon or just Tex Murphy in general was Black Dahlia a little bit. But and regarding Stan Barlow, he seems to be on social media a whole lot more, not talking about his game, but you can feel there's a ramp up coming to where there's something. What were you going to say, Bo? Oh. Was it about Black Dahlia?
Yeah, I would love to see a sequel to that, but that's just a pipe dream.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a difficult game. That was one of the first games that I remember just stopping like 10 times and then forcing myself to get back and play it again so I can finish it. Just
This is where they're running for hardest game ever. So
this is where I like to jump in and nod and go, yeah, it was really hard. But you know what? I found every adventure game hard. It was like until the in-game hint systems and stuff. I was always looking at walkthroughs and stuff.
Oh.
I'm not good at adventure games, I think.
I hate to do it. I've done it more than I like to let on. That's for darn sure. All right. So let's move on to the next segment. You guys prepared? You guys ready to go to the next segment?
Sure.
We're going to do our top five.
Okay. Not another brand new segment you're throwing at us.
No. Our top five. And it's not the top five that we talked about. No, just kidding.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Bo came up with this suggestion. And Jack and I both thought it was a great suggestion. So we are going to do, gosh, what are we doing?
Oh, come on. These are the games we most look forward to that didn't happen, not to put the jinx on any of the games we just mentioned, because we're all sure those are gonna come out. But
yes, so
we've all gotten psyched
five
about
games that have had some sort of announcements and then they pulled it out from underneath us, and hopefully we're going to stick towards adventure games. Bo, you're the guest. You can go first, my friend.
Well, that's good, because I'm going to steal one of Jack's right from the get-go.
Yes! Darn it! Come on.
I mean, it has its own website, and it's theoretically going to come out someday, but I don't believe it ever will, and that's Beyond Good and Evil 2.
No, that's coming out. That is coming out. I know
out. I don't believe it. I don't
know. It's got to. They're remastering it. They're remaking the game this year. It's coming out this year. So you gotta think whenever you see that they're gonna be. Yeah, Ubisoft is remaking the game. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, well, and maybe they are. And there's been three or four jump starts on that last 21 years. And now, I mean, Michael Ansel's even gone from the whole project, right? So I don't even know if I'm looking forward to it anymore.
No, exactly. Yeah, it's nothing. Well, you want the game that they announced 10 years ago. And so do I. Like, that's the one we all saw that trailer and just went, oh, must have this game. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's going to be coming out in 2024, but recently they were saying that they're going to be doing a remake. In fact, I think I sent you that link to it. Oh,
I think.
All right, I'm going to look that up. Jack, you go ahead and go on with your choice.
All right. I think you're getting a little loopy on us, pal. But okay. All right.
It's Dr. Pepper, bro.
Since you cheered on Bo stealing my game, I'm going to steal one I know that you probably want. Oh. Which is Warcraft Adventures.
Oh, yeah.
This was like, how did this game never get released? It was like almost done. This is like traditional point and click adventure game in the Warcraft universe. What a huge property. It wouldn't have been a big seller, but it would have sold. And it was mostly done and then gone. You know, rug pulled out from it. Did they ever even offer an explanation of why or?
Well, I'll say this, that it's had the release that's come out that's been like just dripped out. There's been over 300,000 downloads of that.
There you go.
So that's something, you know,
one of which
I may or may not
mine.
Have played it.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting game. I looked at it and, you know, I'm sure it would have been huge with adventure game fans and enough of the mainstream crowd to at least turn a little profit. So it really bothers me. They're like, not everything has to be a big moneymaker, right? So
anyway, yeah, so we got especially since they put so much time into it. Yeah. Legitimately years into the game, and it was so close.
Yeah.
So close. Okay. That was going to be my first one because I was worried that it was going to be taken.
Yeah. So, well, I would have left it, but then you cheered on Beyond Good and Evil. So it's like, okay, all right. Tit for tat.
That's all good. Okay. I'm going to go with, looking at my lists, I'm going to go with Sam & Max 2 from LucasArts.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like a no-brainer and an obvious one. However, I'm almost glad that they didn't. Because I feel like that would have tainted what Sam & Max Hit the Road was. Because they were going with another like art direction on it. Kind of like what ended up happening at Telltale. And those kind of tainted the original game. But, you know, that was one of those that was almost finished too that they didn't put out.
And, yeah.
I would have loved to see that rabbity thing one more time from LucasArts perspective.
And it kind of had a happy ending anyway, because, you know, Telltale did do their own Sam & Max game. So, you know, sometimes a breakup is better for everyone. But but still, it was almost done and we never got to play that game. So, yeah, of course. Of course I want to play that one.
All right, well, we can stick with LucasArts and go with Full Throttle Hell on Wheels.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even think I knew about it at the time because I wasn't playing a lot of adventure games in 2003 since none were coming out. You know, I mean, I would have played it immediately. It kind of looked terrible. I mean, it probably looked good back in 2003. it's still some of that blocky 3D graphics.
Nothing looked good in 2003.
Nothing 3D anyway.
Also, you know, Roy Conrad had just died, so you know, I don't know how good it would have been, but I would love to see it. So,
yeah, and unlike Freelance Police, that production had problems. Like the developers weren't really happy with it, and that I think that cancellation was certainly more earned than Freelance Police anyway. So. And it was going to be a little more action-y. Not that that bothers any of us, but, you know.
That would have bothered me then. It would have. Like, we were so close to traditional adventures back then. Right now, we've had so much distance, you know, and there's been so much innovations. It's almost impossible, unless you're trying to go backwards, to make a classic-style adventure game. That would have bothered me back then. And honestly, the game did not look good, or the concept did not look good from what we know about it now.
But still,
was a huge
what might have been.
Full Throttle is one of the most underrated games that are out there, and mostly because of they don't think it's very long. Well, you disagree? You think it's better or worse?
Like, no, I mean, is it underrated?
I gotta think so. I mean, it should be a top 10 game, in my opinion, if it was longer, if they gave us more game compared to the other games that were coming out at the time. But it was one of my most fun LucasArts adventures that I've ever played.
Oh, it's
it's
a top 20 game for me too. I just thought most people had it there. So
well, I think it should be in the top 10. It's out of my top 10, but if they gave us a little bit more compared to all the other games that came out at that time, I think it should have been, or it would have been, in most people's top 10. But yeah, of course, different perspectives. But no, man.
Yeah. Okay. Well, those are, that to me, that's all the low hanging fruit. Those are the four between the three of us that I came up with on my, so I had to do some actual research. I'm sitting there going, man, I can't remember. And then I remembered that I've kept 20 years of notes on adventure games. So I said, oh yeah, why don't I just look in my files?
Are we talking OK Undercloud? I'm like, cause I want to see this document. If there's real paper, notebook.
It is many, many folders and files of games that came and went or didn't come. And there's actually a lot of really neat games that didn't ever pan out. One of them is called The City of Metronome, or just Metronome. This was from Tarsier Studios, who went on to make Little Nightmares. And Little Nightmares has Metronome fingerprints all over it. Like, you can clearly see the evolution of the one idea. But Metronome looked so amazing. This was before, this was like in 2004. And it was 3D, third person. It was really neat, really sort of steampunky, surreal environment. And the main mechanic was you had a device that could record sounds that you could then manipulate it and use those sounds to solve puzzles. It was a really neat idea and a really cool looking game. And it just never happened. Like, I remember it, everyone who saw it being excited about it at the time. So how a publisher didn't jump on it, I don't know. But again, it kind of worked out because then they went on to make another successful series. But I would have loved to have played City of Metronome.
New one's coming out in 2024.
Yeah, not from Tarsier, though.
Yeah.
They're passing the torch.
Sometimes innovation, we all want innovation in video games, but it also scares the crap out of publishers. And
yeah.
They might not, you know, the developers, sometimes they just can't conceptualize the innovation.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm thinking that since you said, I'm like trying to think of how that would work, and I can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, no, and maybe they had trouble implementing it themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's such a complex idea that maybe, you know what, it doesn't work as well as we hoped it would. So let's just move on. But anyway.
Okay. My next one is going to be Toonstruck 2. And
really?
Yeah, I feel very strongly about this because I think Toonstruck is overrated. But it would have been better if there's definitely a cliff that it left you at, and you could tell it, you didn't feel like there was a cliff, but there was more to that story. There was more that is being told. And I feel like I just want to know what's happening in number two. It was, what was it? One of those things that was built or written as a two-part story, and they just never got to number two.
Oh, so, wow.
I feel like I would have appreciated one more if I got the second part.
And was that because, I mean, the sales were awful for that game, and that's why, or what, was there any work on it done?
Oh, no. Two was heavily, but they were acted like it was almost done, like it was ready to be released.
Oh, wow.
People have been campaigning for years for them to actually give it to somebody because it was said to be, you know, was rumored to be done. Or at least in the final stages. But Toonstruck 2 was...
That's a good one.
You didn't know there was going to be a 2?
No, I never heard that before. And I don't know. I heard Virgin lost a lot of money on the first game, so I just assumed there was no appetite for it.
And that was sort of not pre-internet necessarily, but pre-sort of everything internet, where we all know everything about everything that exists, but... So if you're not reading magazines,
they spent a crap load of money on that game. They really, really did. They brought in some heavy hitters for
it. Hey, Christopher Lloyd's still alive. Let's will this into existence.
Well, and yes, and the reason why it was so much is because they built the second game. They built it all at the same time. They didn't make enough sales to justify spending another $1 million or so to properly market the second game, try to cut their or get back in the green, I guess, is however that expression goes.
That's a good one. All right, your turn, Bo.
All right, well, I'm gonna pick a game here that I am pretty confident was going to be god awful, but I would have played it anyway. Back in 2013, Jim Walls started a Kickstarter for a game called Precinct, and it was just going to be another police adventure. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of details on, obviously it was not going to be Sonny Bonds, he didn't have the IP for that, but it was just going to be another police adventure. But, I mean, the material they released on the Kickstarter was very minimal. Didn't look all that great. It didn't even come anywhere near hitting their goal. And I got all my money back that I gave to it. But And like I said, I mean, Jim Walls did have a hand in a little bit of a hand in Blade Runner. So, you know, maybe he would have created something great, but I'd like to have seen it.
That was the time frame when Kickstarter, a lot of people didn't really know how to do it right.
Yeah.
And I feel like you could have had that game if they just set the initial funding a little bit lower and let it go higher. Because it says that they were 90 grand short of his $500,000 goal. That's a huge goal. You know, like,
yeah.
Especially back then. I mean, of course, everybody thought they were going to be Tim Schafer getting millions of dollars or something. But yeah. And then they tried to fund it again independently. And it says that they failed three different attempts to fund it, which is crazy. Never came.
Yeah.
Close
they didn't
to
put much effort into promoting it. I can tell you that. Cause I remember it. I mean, I'd completely and utterly forgotten it existed until Bo mentioned it. But yeah, at the time, I remembered helping to spread the word about the Kickstarter, but there was like very little on it. It wasn't well presented anyway. So you got to at least put some effort into your pitch, or, you know, of course I say that and you just tell me it raised $400,000. So
410. Yeah.
If I recall, like, you know, Jim Walls was like, I'm retired, but this sounds kind of fun. Like
Let's
I don't
see
know
what happens.
I don't know how much energy he wanted to put into it, but so
okay.
Well, all right. Speaking of expensive projects, my next one could have been the next great Benoit Sokol game called Aquarica. And it was like we saw some early designs, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And he was going to do it with Wipers. They were going to make a movie and a game. They said the game was going to cost 2 million euros and the movie would be 10 times that. So they had big plans for this. And it's about these enormous mythical whales that migrated from the North Pole to Africa, I believe. And then they fell asleep for a century, and they'd be covered with silt and stuff. And they'd, you know, trees would grow and tribes would settle on them and stuff like that. And then the whales would wake up and then, you know, go back. And it was all about how the people reacted to these whales waking up and moving essentially their homes. It was like very Benoit Sokol, very Siberia, very paradise, that kind of thing. So it looked really amazing, and it never came close to happening.
I hate the idea of whales in adventure game. Because every adventure game that I could think of had a whale in it was absolutely terrible.
I love whales so much. I don't care if
do
everything
really?
Fails.
You like whales? Interesting.
Oh, I love them.
Hey,
what do you think of the Ahsoka like episode with the whales in it?
I liked the whales. I didn't like much of anything else, but
I always love
whales.
Did you love the whale in King's Quest 4?
I
wasn't even thinking about that. Yeah, I don't remember it. No, I.
Well, it's notorious because you have to climb up its tongue.
Oh yes, the and you keep falling down. That's right. I hear about that.
They even made fun of it in Leisure Suit Larry 3, because they realized
how ridiculous that was.
How ridiculous it was. Yeah.
Yes. Well, chances are I'd be much less fond of the inside of a whale than I am the outside. Like just in general, not just King's Quest. But
I have never played a King's Quest text parser game. Like I've never played the older ones. All I've seen is Let's Plays. I've played the remakes of them.
Did
but
you
waiting for
Did you know that there's a point and click version of King's Quest 4?
No, I did not.
And it is literally identical to the original game, other than it's now
it's
got
topless.
The classic. It's got the classic Sierra icon system, and they got rid of all the Walking Dead scenarios. Very accessible. It's a freeware game, obviously, just done by a fan. But if you want to avoid the parser, it's, you know, you could definitely get the whole experience otherwise.
Yeah. So I like the old remakes. The only one I didn't play that I knew of was that topless one where Marcella's going around naked.
Yeah.
Like at it. But I hear that they did that really good outside of the weird nakedness crap. But okay, it wouldn't be a top five if I didn't cheat So I'm going to take an adventure game rumor is going to be turned into a movie. And I'm going to talk about the Broken Sword movie that we heard about, but was never given. They never gave it to us.
Yeah.
Because apparently some other guy made buku bucks off copying their script, which they copied someone else's script for it. So yeah, Da Vinci Code, they stopped the process of going further with the movie because of the Da Vinci Code book and the movie that was coming out with that. So.
Oh yeah? Is that confirmed somewhere? I'd never
Yeah, we heard. Talked about it with gosh, what's his name on this podcast?
Tony Werner?
Tony, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Oh, all right.
All right. I could say anything. Jack would feel, oh, yeah, I just
yeah, forgot. No, I believe you, but.
There you go.
Or maybe that was our live stream. I did have to step out on Tony for a while, so I'm going to go with that. I wasn't actually physically in the room when he talked about that part. But I just, no, I wondered if that was actually sort of known fact or if that was just sort of him speculating on why, you know.
I think it was speculating, but you got to think that that's kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Was that our third or our fourth?
That was three. You
got
to.
Oh, man, we got two more. Okay, let's do these last two a little bit quicker. So, Bo, you're up.
In 2007, a very short game was released by a indie company called Revival called Fate by Numbers. It was a film noir, full motion video game. And the plot was pretty cool. You play a woman who was a cop who became a private detective. She had investigating the police force due to some corruption. Her husband was killed. But then as you're playing the game, you run into your husband who apparently is alive. And so, yeah, I think you find that out pretty quickly. Anyway, it was free, and they were planning to, you know, build a much larger game, and never got off the ground. But it wasn't that good. I mean, the acting was very B movie like. I was rooting for them. So, and you can still play the game; they still have it for download. But there's been nothing since.
Sounds interesting. It sounds like an interesting concept. Yeah.
And a little bit cheesy, a little bit B-movie, that'd be all right. So that's too bad. It's tough to make that jump, though, from freeware to even just charging a little bit. So, okay. This one, poor RIP. This is some bad news from the last year. Is Daedalic, or Daedalic, as we all think of it, is got out of the development game. And this was one of the games that people were most looking forward to. There's not from last year, but it's called The Devil's Men. It was led by Kevin Mentz, who involved in Memoria, and he did a adventure game of his own before he joined Daedalic. I cannot think of the name. It was some time travel-y thing. Anyway, the game looked absolutely gorgeous. It had a really neat premise. Sort of two drastically different protagonists being forced to work together and everything. Anyway, I was too big, too ambitious, too whatever, and Daedalic just went, pull the plug, gone. It's honestly, it looked amazing.
I gotta respect companies who have the guts to pull a project on something that they know is going to fail, rather than continue to. Of course, I'm looking at it from a business perspective. Mm. You know, if you start a piece of art, you kind of want to finish it, but. From a business perspective, I do respect when a company does that. Yeah. They should have done that with Gollum.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think the Devil's Man would have failed in terms of, I don't know. That was, I think they were more into we got to reach higher and get more mainstream and stuff like that. And adventure games got the boot.
For mine, I want to apologize because I cannot remember the name of the developer who was planning on working on this. I was thinking about it all day and I had it in my brain the whole day, but it's the Seinfeld adventure game. Two decently big names in animation, Simpsons, Bob's Burgers, that kind of thing. Like, they were into that. But George, or what's the names? Seinfeld and I can't remember the other
Larry David.
Gentleman. Larry, yes. They said no, and in Spanish, no, and we won't even let you continue to even talk about it to the media anymore about this game. And it was creating a buzz. It still has a buzz that was being talked about, and the concept that they came up with was really cool. Like, really, really cool. But yeah, that got
shit. It wasn't just a game about nothing?
It was a game about nothing, and that's
awesome. Oh, it was. Okay.
That's literally what their point was. It's
okay, like, all right, I got you. I could make a game about nothing, but
episode of games about nothing.
Looks like the creator was Jacob Janerka.
Yes, Jacob. I feel terrible because I've actually been talking with him quite a bit over the past 3 or 4 months, ever since I came out with the video on that. And we may be talking a little bit more later on. But he's coming out with a new game, by the way.
Cool. All right, last round.
All right. Well, I'll make this quick. This is kind of a joke answer, but Leisure Suit Larry 4.
It's so good. Oh boy. Okay.
Not that, like, I mean, I get the impression that there was maybe some ideas for it, you know, then they just created the in joke and went straight to Leisure Suit Larry 5. But considering 5 is the worst game ever made, I would take 4 had to have been better and worth playing. So
4 was better.
Yeah, you know, clear. No, 4 was the superior game for sure.
Yes, much
a
better.
A story about nothing would have been better than than that one.
Just a big bag of nothing would have been better. Okay.
That's one of the coolest concepts and tropes in video game history. By the way,
it's hilarious.
Only from the brain of Al Lowe. I'd love to be in that conversation. You know, maybe they were going to do something like you said or something, but Ken with his mustache and super serious and all right, hear me out. Like, I'm going to make number 5 and it's going to be great marketing. I love it. That's amazing. Okay. I'm sorry. I digress because I have to.
The fanboy in Joshua is leaking out. Okay. All right.
The marketing boy in him is leaking out.
Okay. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I'm thinking Ken would be a hard sell on that.
I'm saying. Like, pitching it. Yeah.
Yeah. I could picture Al loving it. He's laughing himself silly about it. Well, this would be so funny. And
just
Ken
hear
going,
me out.
They just had to convince Ken it was going to make them more money. So,
yeah. I guess they did. But. And then they came out with 5 and went, oops. But okay, all right. We didn't know much at all about this game, but it's got a hilarious name. And of course, the main characters are very popular. It would have been called Revenge of the Balloon-Headed Mexican. And it was an episodic Ben and Dan series. Time Gentlemen, Please, and Been There, Done That. Really popular, funny British comedy series. And I would have loved to have seen what the world needs more Ben and Dan, but we never got them. Well, we did recently in the Lair of God or something like that. I forget what it was called, but kind of a platformy game. But no Revenge of the Balloon-Headed Mexican. I mean, come on. Just on name alone, we had to have that game.
Don't be a menace in South Central while drinking your juice. In the It goes up there with that silly name. Oh man. Okay. So I have the pick of the litter here. I got the left, whatever's left. I could choose. It's a toss up between Larry 8 and Space Quest 6. No, 7. Mm. Space Quest 7. I'm going to go with Space Quest 7 because Larry 6 was left in a Space Quest 6 left us in a terrible taste in our mouth. It left a terrible taste in our mouth. I need a palate cleanser and something to give us a reset for Space Quest 7. And although it hardly got anywhere at all, just the idea of Roger Wilco one more time. It couldn't have been worse than 6, right?
Beats me.
I mean, I played 10 minutes of 6, and I agree with you.
Oh, it's a six is really, really rough. It's really, really rough. And I wanted so hard to like it. But there we go. There is our five from each of us of games that didn't quite make it to us.
RIP games.
Rip.
But rip. But Josh promises Beyond Good and Evil 2 this year.
Yeah,
I don't promise anything.
He needs
but,
to put the pipe down.
Like, I promise that there's a hey. I'll write an announcement. I'll put it on our website right now
not
to make
happening.
Myself right.
No, I will gladly write it if that exists. But
okay. Well, yeah, I could be wrong. I did send you that link though that one night,
which I don't remember seeing. I think you're confusing it with a different game. You have to be.
We talked about it in one of our podcasts, and it was funny because it popped up like on my Google feed like that night. When Dave McIntyre and you were talking about Beyond Good and Evil and how great it was, it ended up popping up. Maybe Google was hearing, maybe the phone heard us talking about it and it fed me some garbage just to make me click.
Yeah, maybe.
Speaking of things that we hope that you click, why don't you tell us what's going on at Adventure Game Hotspots over the next couple of weeks?
Everything's always in flux. We got so many things, so many, you know, plates we're juggling in the air. I think up first we'll have a review of the new Carol Reed mystery, which is on game number 19, which is just phenomenal. So that's really amazing. we rarely do this, but we're going to review a game that we've reviewed already. This is not a second opinion. We're going to review Colossal Cave VR.
It's their anniversary today, a 1 year anniversary today.
That's right. Yes. Happy birthday, Colossal Cave. But yeah, I mean, they've made so many changes since the original. And because VR is such a different experience than sort of a standard monitor, we figured like let's put this new version through its paces and, you know, see how much fun. So we got a review of that coming up. We got a really interesting feature that collectors are gonna love. Sort of a list of big box rare adventure games. So, and hopefully just the first of several, because there are more rare games than just these. But yeah, so those are three of the things we got coming. And again, a lot more things in the works.
I'm so glad you said that. I am excited that's coming up. I won't say who the author is. We'll just let you guys read it when it comes out. But
that's right. Is it a guest author?
If you recognize, or if you collect big box PC games, you will recognize this collector. So I'll just tease it at that. Bo, where can we find you? Tell us about your website that you write for besides adventuregamehotspot.com.
Yeah, I'm not really on social media, but I have my own website called Death by Troggles. And I actually started it to do a countdown of every Star Trek Next Generation episode from worst to best. But it's mainly where I keep my adventure game reviews. If you like what I write, I have about 200 there. And I've written about 7 this year already. So I don't like reviewing a game is like, it helps me feel good about playing it. And it also helps me remember stuff about it years later. I can't play a game without writing 1,000 words about it. So even if it's not for Jack.
Justify the time that you put into it, right?
Yeah. And I think it helps me enjoy, like, you know, the experience better, because I don't know, I critically think about it, what I like and don't like. It helps me look out for other games too. So.
Yeah, so that's deathbytroggles.com. So be sure to keep an eye out, maybe follow his website as well. February 1st, we will start the Kickstarter of the this thing.
Adventure Game Fanfare.
Adventure Game Fanfare. I don't think I have the right thing behind me. So we'll just keep me right here. That's the Kickstarter. We're going to be doing it no matter what, but the more we bring in for the Kickstarter, the more incredible it will be, the more blingy, I guess, is the best way of saying it. Of course, you can find us anywhere where you consume your podcasts, on all of the social medias. Just start typing Adventure Game Ha and it'll populate.
I think AI can take over from there.
Right. We're really pushing right now. We're pushing Threads. So go find us on Threads. For Jack, for Bo, I am Joshua, and this has been the Adventure Game Hotspot podcast. And we will see you guys in the next episode. Thanks, guys. Take care, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.